Welcome back to the Stranger Things After Show. We're talking Chapter 4, The Body. Stay tuned.
The Stranger Things After Show, presented by Netflix.
Welcome back to the Stranger Things After Show, presented by Netflix. I'm your host, Jesse Janity. Along with me is Roxy Schreier.
Lucas.
Tiana Hobson.
I'm going to bring him home.
And Zach Wilson.
I've got an axe under this table in case these walls burst open. I am prepared, you guys.
Glad I'm with you.
You guys fend for yourselves.
All I have to say is insane in the membrane. Like, legit for this episode. Yeah. We want to know what you guys saw of the episode, so please leave your comments down below. Let us know what you guys think. Also, make sure you subscribe to Netflix on YouTube. YouTube.com/Netflix. And if for some reason you haven't checked out the other after shows, go back and binge watch them. Yeah. Right as soon as you're done watching the first episode, go on and check out the after show. We're here for you to start the discussion. Alright, so we went to the lab. We saw the men in the hazmat suits.
Where are we at now with lab acronym?
I mean, to me, they're still, like, it's government run. So the legally. Approved bad guys.
Legally approved bad guys. Got it.
I love it.
Hawkins legally approved bad guys. Okay. Hawkins lab.
So we see this portal, and now they're ready to go into the portal. And it's this, like, membraney kind of
trippy.
Yeah, right? It is. And we hear the sound on the other side of it. They put the guy in there attached to a wire. I'm like, have you guys... Well, obviously not, because it's the 80s, so you couldn't have seen Jurassic Park.
I was going to say Jurassic Park! Yes!
Great minds think alike. Yeah.
He goes into this world, and we hear him yell, "Help, there's something else in here." Which leaves me to question, like you're saying, is there only one monster now?
Or did they not know something was in there? Were they unaware that something was in there?
I feel like they had to have known something was in there, because where would this goo stuff be coming from? And
in the first episode, they say it got out.
Right.
So they know that something got free.
Was that after 11 got out, though?
It was the same. It was the same time.
They escaped.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like it escaped, and she escaped. Like she couldn't have gotten far. I believe was the quote.
And she doesn't seem afraid of the monster. Well, because when he said, "What's chasing you?" She said for her it was the bad guy, but for Will, it was a monster.
Unless she came out of the portal.
Mm. I don't know.
And maybe took Will's spot.
How many monsters are there? Who do you want to eat?
That's how I feel. Hopper's on the case, because he went over to Joyce's house basically to tell her they found Will's body.
I felt so bad for Joyce in this moment. This has happened to all of us at one point in your life where you know that you're right in your heart of hearts and your soul, and everybody's looking at you like you're dead wrong, and it's like you almost convince yourself, am I crazy? Am I not? And when you're not sleeping and all of these things, she's saying, I know how it looks to everybody. Mm-hmm. I felt awful. And how do you sleep when you hear news like that? Even if you don't believe it, when you get that, how do you sleep?
And coming off of the fact that she just had a conversation with Will in the lights, and she's still thinking, no, he's got to be here still. You guys have to believe me with what I just saw and what I'm telling you. I saw a monster come out of my wall, which kind of sounds like a 3-year-old who's scared to go to bed at night. But
I mean, but she, at the same time, like, she is well, and she says in the episode, like, she's well aware that she sounds crazy and that she feels crazy from all of this. But, like, she still knows what she saw.
Yeah, she said, I know the difference between grief. This is not grief. What you're talking about with your daughter, that was grief. You saw that after the fact. She said, I haven't even had time to grieve for my son.
Right.
I'm seeing this. This is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm seeing.
Most people who are crazy are not able to acknowledge that, aren't able to say, this is not grief, aren't able to say, I know I sound this way, but I'm not actually this way. So I'm starting to come around to the fact that she might be actually communicating with Will.
And she was dead ass. She got her axe. Sat right on that couch.
Oh, that was so awesome.
No doubt about it. She's a tough woman.
Mm-hmm. She is a tough
woman, yeah.
Oh, man. Winona Ryder in this episode just brought it.
Amazing.
Every episode. I can't get over her. I cannot get over her.
This one, really, though, for me, like, it, you know, I've been impressed by, from her acting, watching the whole thing, but this episode really did take me out of it. I was just looking at her like, wow, I hand clapped to you,
girl. She became Joyce.
Yeah. And here we go. Again, we were talking about that one shot in the last chapter about why they didn't show Will's body. Obviously, we see because it really ain't Will. But they gave us that close-up with Joyce to go there. Or not really with, Joyce. It was a Hopper.
Yeah, when Hopper went over there.
Because Joyce went in, and she's like, that ain't my son. I don't know what that is, who you think that is. That is not my son. He has a birthmark on his thing.
I mean, I think, Roxy, you called it in the last after show. Like,
it's going to be something as small as a birthmark, but a mom knows her kid. And when she said, I know his breathing, I know this, I know that, if he doesn't have the birthmark, he doesn't have the birthmark.
Right. And you ain't getting rid of that. I was expecting maybe like a tattoo or something. Like, I thought that's where we might take the story. But
I don't think
I'm here for this.
I thought that was a really cool prediction. But I don't think that he went to the same place that Eleven did. I think that that's one of the things that they're trying to show us. They're setting apart with the bad guys are after me, the monster's after him. I have this tattoo. He didn't have a shaved head, even though it wasn't actually him. There's a few things where I'm thinking, I don't know.
I think that they're different, but they're still the same in a way, because I think that where Will went, the portal to get in is still at the lab. And it all leads back to this lab. Mm. And she might have escaped a different part of the lab, like where they were keeping her to run the experiments and stuff. But he's still, it's linked back to there of how he's
involved. What if they were using
Eleven
to control the monster? Because they were using animals for her to, can you kill the animal? Can you read what this person's mind is
can
saying?
Can you find the animal if the animal is lost? And that's what they did tonight with the guy.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think why this girl and this monster were in the same building, how they escaped at the same time.
Her powers are definitely linked to something, either it's with the monster or directly with the portal. Mm-hmm. Like, something about them are connected.
Do you think she understands the portal? Do you think she understands, more so not the portal, do you guys think she understands the other realm, or it's just, this is what I'm hearing, this is what I'm showing you?
I think she has the ability to understand it, and maybe is the only one who could survive it.
Mm. To put her in there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I think it's a really, really interesting theory that you have that she's controlling this, because it would make a lot of sense. Say even they sent her out to go after Will, and like we saw with her and the cat, she's unable to complete it. And so something goes wrong, something goes awry, so he never makes it to where he was supposed to be, and instead he's stuck in the in-between somewhere. Something along those lines.
It's a ride we're going on.
Oh, yeah. But I'm down for it.
Me too.
Hey.
We see Joyce, so she ran out of the autopsy room. You know, Jonathan's just worried. He's like, I just want to bury my brother. Like, we can't keep him locked up in here.
I completely get that,
though. Yeah, it's a really hard balance, because you get your mom sitting over here, and you're just worried for your mom. And I don't know how much I actually believe that Jonathan thinks anything of what his mom is saying is true.
Not until that photo. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he believed her at all. He says that she's had anxiety problems in the past, and a mother grieving over losing a son, you know, that could make anyone go crazy or react in different ways. So I think at this point, he thinks she's just dealing with it her own way.
And it was interesting to hear Hopper even verbalize that, saying, listen, when I lost Sarah, which, by the way, we now have a name, I didn't know what was up, what was down, what was right, what was wrong, what was real, what was fake. I didn't know any of these things. So I thought that was really, really cool to watch him try to relate to her on that level, because we've seen him be pretty stoic to her. And then I also thought it was interesting that she called him Hop, which made it seem like maybe at one point they had a closer relationship than they do now.
Yeah, and I mean, Lonnie, I think, said the same thing. Like, Hop already came and talked to me.
Right.
Yeah. Like, there's clearly a past with them. It's just a small town.
Lonnie
so.
Even said to Jonathan, is Hop still Hopper around?
Yeah, he said, is he still the sheriff or
right,
whatever you would call him.
Well.
Also, I just noticed that he's Hop the cop.
Hop. It's like hop on pop, but yeah.
Well, so he went to the diner. He went to the diner after he turned on the TV and he saw that they said that they're making Will's death an isolated incident. They don't think it's attached to anything. And I felt like that put a flag up in the air for him.
That's the kind of thing that makes me so nervous to live in the world that we live in today, because I'll watch something on the news and I'll just believe it to be so. Like, yeah, they'll
we're
say,
watching it
they'll
the past
person,
few weeks, right. years, actually.
Absolutely, but they'll say, this is what's happening, but don't worry, it's a standalone. And I'll say, all right, it was a standalone incident. And then the next day, somebody else goes missing. So what makes them determine that this is an isolated incident?
The covering up of the CIA.
Right. Yeah, because we know that the state troopers came and kicked the guy who does the autopsies. Yeah. What is that person's position called?
The coroner. Mortician.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Both of them are right.
I was going to say autopsy doer. But yes, coroner.
But you know, they kicked him out and they took over the autopsy. So there's a lot of red flags going up right now, especially with Hopper. And I said it in our last after show. I'm totally team Hopper right now. I think he's really going to have his moment to shine.
Like, he's coming, like, fully on board. Like, he is digging deep into this mystery, and he is not going to stop for anything now. Like, he knows that the government is covering up something big.
So much he went to the diner to find the guy who supposedly found the body, and like, oh, do I recognize you?
So much so that he like was willing to stab what could have been a dead body with his knife.
Is part of this about not being able to save his own daughter and having feelings of guilt about that, and then taking it out on Will in this situation?
For sure.
I'll be very curious to see what it is, that, because obviously we're going to find out one day what happened to Sarah. Was she ill and he couldn't save her? Was it something like brain damage and maybe she is still out there somewhere? Did she...
Next two episodes, I feel. That story is
because they brought her up a lot in this episode, and so I think that means they're hinting towards us getting more answers about her. I will say that I'm kind of back to my first after show theory of 11 being... his daughter.
Tied to him. I kind of dismissed that.
But after tonight's episode, and we found out that they're faking kids' deaths, and with the news articles and the pictures that we saw already, it's just, to me, it's starting to link up again.
We hear her screaming so many times, Papa, 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 and address this man who we assume is Papa in the scene. Yep. So she's calling Papa.
I don't believe that. I've never believed that any of the times she's said Papa that she was directly talking to that man.
Okay.
I also feel like Dr. Martin. The more I hear her say Papa, I feel like there's something to just the fact that it's Papa and not Dad. Papa is such like a little kid, like, that doesn't have a lot of vocabulary word. Like,
which
a name
is her,
for
though,
a father.
Too.
Yeah.
It's one of the first sounds that children can make. Mama, Papa. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Which is why it feels so... It feels unnatural in, like, an interesting way when she uses it. It's either she's young or, like... Because she is starting to form vocabulary. But does that mean that she's been, like, kept from, like, any kind of learning all her life? Or has it been removed? If it is like brain damage, and that's what happened, like that, this is all that she's just relearning how to speak.
And because that's what MK Ultra would do to test.
Yeah,
them, so.
And it would make sense then why she knows certain words, like, but not the word friends,
right.
Because friend is like the way when you get brain damage, it'll be random things that the brain can't handle. Like, you won't be able to speak, but you'll be able to spell it on when you write stuff like that.
We do hear them test a series of words when she has to use her mind to find that man, and he's kind of saying those random string of things. She probably has heard random words, just maybe not all of them.
How they're attached to each other,
mm-hmm.
or what the context is. So Hopper goes outside with this officer, and he basically pushes him against the wall. And the guy's like, stick your nose somewhere else, beats him up. He alludes to the fact that he's working for somebody, turns around, sees this black car, they drive off.
This
always
was
sketchy.
Awesome. The moment where he tries to claim, oh, your commanding officer wanted you somewhere, and the guy's like, what? And then he tries to get out of it and just socks him. That thing was really cool. This one where they're outside the bar and he just punches the guy, that was really cool. All of these Hopper moments tonight.
Yeah, Hopper's
where I just felt like, Hopper, yes, you have awakened from yes. Monday morning when you were drinking your coffee and you were like, no, no, I'm not doing this week. Hopper, you have arrived.
This is his week.
Yes,
this is his week. Yeah. I want to say the thing about Hopper that I've been looking at is where I hate that I try to premeditate the story, but at the same time, it's like, where are we going? But Hopper, yeah. I'm wondering, we're seeing this arc of Hopper. We see the lazy Hopper. We get a little backstory as to, like, this daughter situation, but we don't really see emotion from Hopper. All we see is his reaction to Joyce's emotion, to these angry bad guys' emotions. It's just him reacting. So I'm thinking within the next two episodes, that little bracelet, we got the name Sarah, they keep bringing it up. I want to see, and he's chasing after this monster, if coming close to the monster somehow will trigger him hearing things to kind of believe the whole Joyce situation.
Maybe. Hmm. Maybe. I think that he has been dormant for so long after what happened with Sarah, maybe after moving away or moving jobs from the big city, trying to live a simpler life, and now all of a sudden all of this could trigger that, and he could be able to not necessarily communicate, but more of a Joyce situation, and maybe even his daughter will be able to talk to him.
Because everybody is literally on their own hunt right now. No yes. one's working together. And actually, if y'all just sat and talked together, we might be able to find Will a little quicker.
Yeah, including the boy.
Because everyone has a piece of the information. Use the radio with the picture, and we got the puzzle.
And mom's craziness, who saw him, like, it's...
Yeah.
It's all there.
How often is that the case, though? How often is that the case in life where you're like, if you just communicated with one another...
That's every day of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here, you guys, this is why communication is important. So Hopper goes to Will's body. He had cut it open, found out that it was a Build-A-Bear, and then he goes straight to the lab.
Oh, my
and
God. A Build-A-Bear.
I know.
I can't.
It was like a Build-A-Bear.
Oh, my God.
It was like fluff. And like, who's going to touch that body and think that that's not real?
When he put his hand on it, I was like, that's not a human body. And then when he started cutting it, I watch a lot of surgery shows. That's not what happens when you get a scalpel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like some weird pus stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not how the body would react to that.
Like, they have to assume that at some point, like, if that, like, that body would go to the actual mortician, like, as opposed to the coroner.
Right.
They took out the coroner, but the mortician is the one who would, like, dress the yeah. body, and, like, he's gonna be, like, squeezing it, like, this isn't right.
Zach, I think that the point is their reach is so crazy far. This is the government we're talking yeah. about. They're not sending that body anywhere. They don't have a person to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we don't even know the extent of all of this right
I
now.
I guess that's true. They could have been like, oh, were you going to do a cat? Like, we totally cremated him.
Yeah.
Like, here's some kitty litter.
That's exactly what they would do.
We totally cremated him. Casket. Our bad, bro.
My bad. Oh, we checked this one off.
Yeah.
So now, obviously, with Will's body being found, Mike's really upset. So he is upset with Eleven. And so it's interesting that we've seen this kind of growth with them, and now they're going to have this little argument situation. Where we talked about it kind of getting going to a darker place. I'm happy that it kind of didn't go there this episode. Because I like the whole... I'm really here for the kids. I love them searching. I love them hunting. It's just so adorable. It's like the little Scooby gang.
More
like,
the more bike riding yeah. we can get with these kids, the better.
Mm-hmm. It gets better every time that they bike ride.
Yeah.
I will say that. Yeah. Every single time they bike ride, it gets better.
I get more and more jealous because I'm sitting here and I still don't know how to ride a bike. And here they can do their Australian accents and ride away on a bike. And I'm like, well, screw me then.
We hear Will's voice over this walkie-talkie. What was your initial reaction? What went through your mind when all of the kids heard, like, legit Will having a conversation? And then Joyce could all of a sudden hear.
I could only think, I knew he wasn't dead. I knew he wasn't dead.
Not only is he not dead, but he's, like, fully aware of what's happening. Like, to the point where he's, like, he know, like... So if he exists on some plane... So, like, the body's nothing. So wherever he is, it's within a similar spatial plane to the house.
I'm assuming it's like how when she got dragged into the pool, then all of a sudden she wakes up, she's in the pool, but it's like this dark, dried-up realm. So I'm assuming he's in his bedroom but it looks like an abandoned...
Or right. he would be on the outside. On the other side, outside yeah. of the house.
Yeah, in right. the woods. Oh, because yeah. he got lost in the shed, too. It was outside.
Yeah, so he's outside the house, and either he can't manipulate the door to get in, or something like that, like where so he, all he can do is bang on that, like, mm-hmm. I guess maybe it's from his perspective, it's just like that, like, sort of membrane, like, I don't know what that means. If, mm-hmm. if that's, like, is that the wall between realities right. that they're seeing, or is that, like, the house as represented by... On the other side. Monster right. side.
Yeah.
I know that you guys are all still under the impression that he is alive, and I have held on to this for 4 chapters now, but I'm having like a Princess Bride moment. I feel like he's mostly dead. Like, there's, you know, partially dead, a little bit alive, but mostly dead. So I feel as if he's on this tipping point where he isn't fully alive. But he could go one way or another, depending on what
Why
we do.
Why is he only contacting his mother? Like, in the sense of, like, those, all the boys were there, and there was so much, like, the, if we're going to go through this energy and whatnot in this other realm, all the boys were there with 11. Obviously, that's a lot of energy. She's the one doing the reaching out and contacting. Now, typically with spirits in other realms, the one that contacts, they it contacts the people in the room who's sending it out. But it was like they were yelling for him and he wasn't responding
but
to them.
But remember
at all.
What we saw in the flashback was 11 channel finding that guy's voice and broadcasting
oh,
it. So I don't so think that, she was necessarily in contact with him. She was broadcasting what he was doing in that moment.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I can definitely ride that train.
But
yeah.
with one of the things, and I'm not going anywhere with this, and we can just drop it after this, but after okay. Joyce opened up the wall with the axe, the shot was to the woods, and yep. a lot of things have happened in the woods, so I felt like that was kind of leading us in a direction of where we needed to
I would definitely
go
agree with that.
As well.
Because everything has pretty much happened in those woods,
and
or
the water.
Associated to the... Yeah.
The woods and the water.
Nature.
W's, man. Mm-hmm. They'll get you every time.
they dress... Well, can we please talk about dressing 11 up?
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
I need that
assuming
window.
Nancy's... Or I thought you wanted the dress.
No.
Did I say that?
No.
Oops.
You didn't want the American girl dress?
No.
That was such a funny sequence. Like, instant flashbacks to E.T.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, the blonde wig. I think they even had, like, the similar
that
hat
of,
that,
yeah.
was,
yes.
like, that E.T. was wearing.
She could have looked worse considering Mike pulls out the makeup box.
Yeah, that was scary.
With like, the blush, I'm thinking, oh, God, she's going to come out looking like some kind of doll, crazy.
I was thinking drag queen.
Yeah. And but he was very subtle. I think he has a career in his future.
Yeah. Nancy's been teaching.
Yeah, I think yeah. he appreciates the natural beauty.
Yeah.
And so he was very
Mike
light
seems
with
like
the
that.
Touch and
pretty
you know,
good.
Pretty good. I mean, she
Which,
was pretty. I mean, pretty good.
Right. And so now let's look at these words. She saw Nancy. She said Nancy was pretty. He said to her, pretty good. She repeated back only when she looked in the mirror, she said, good.
Good.
I don't know. That's really stood out to me because she acknowledged Nancy as pretty. He acknowledged her as pretty, but she didn't. She acknowledged the one word that wasn't associated with Nancy that he gave to her.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, maybe
I'm reading way too into that.
Maybe the good was almost a compliment to Mike. Like, instead of talking about herself,
oh.
she looked in good, as in good job.
Okay.
Yeah. I see that.
There we are.
Flirtation. I'm loving their connection. I know they're little kids, but I'm Cory and Topanga-ing all day long with them. I'm loving it. Even if they just become BFF or whatever it is, I really feel that there is something there to be explored.
Yes.
Definitely agree with
yeah.
that. And I mean, you know what I mean? Up to season 3, 4, 5, then we can start getting into the adult romance because they'll be old enough. You know what I mean? So just keep it cute.
That's true.
And then Lucas will fight with him a little bit about her. Because right. you know, right now, Lucas is, ew,
But that's
pretty.
Like what boys do when they're young.
Yeah.
Lucas is like, you're spending all that time with 11.
Okay, but Lucas is a walk in the park compared to some of the other little obnoxious boys that we've seen in this show.
No, Troy. I live for Lucas. And I missed Dustin
pants.
This episode. I felt like we didn't get
I love Dustin.
Let's talk about Piss Pants.
Yeah.
This bully Troy. All right, so Troy.
I am not about you, Troy.
At all.
I'm not.
They went into
I'm
this
about
assembly.
What happened to Troy.
Me too.
Yeah.
But see, this was such better revenge than what happens to Jonathan, because what happens to Jonathan, like I was talking about in Chapter 3, I had mixed feelings about, but really, you took the picture, you deserve to get your camera smashed. Troy, you're a jerk. You're at this guy's funeral, essentially, and you're laughing. Leave. I hate you. You're the worst kind of person. How? How do people like this exist in the world? You should pee your pants every day.
I love that Eleven did that instead of, like, having a Carrie moment.
Ooh, I was scared. We were in a gymnasium. Everyone's sitting there. I see her sitting down. I see them laughing. I know something's about to go down, and we saw what she's capable of, so I don't know what was about to go down.
I didn't think that she was going to, like, snap their necks or anything, like, crazy violent. But I thought she might, like, trip them as they're walking down the bleachers, or, like, make him punch himself in the face,
didn't they show that Eleven kind of knows when the punishment fits the crime?
Yes.
Which I wasn't expecting at all. Somehow we've been talking for every time we see Eleven. She's not quite in the real world. She doesn't know all of these words. Is she going to snap? We don't know what she knows or not. Right from wrong, she has a clear grasp on. Cat can't kill the cat. These men that are attacking me can snap their necks. This man that's making fun of this boy that's dead can make him piss his pants. She knows.
I don't think it, well, with the cat, I don't think it was like, can't kill the cat. Like, it was more like, it's cute. I don't want to hurt.
I thought it was more scared. She sensed that the cat was scared. Whereas maybe. She attacked the people who attacked her because they were being aggressive. Because both cats were hissing. And, like, that one cat was just like, it didn't look scared. It just looked like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I'm not saying she physically couldn't do it. I'm saying that she wouldn't do it.
Yeah, like, she has a moral, good moral compass.
Yeah, well, it's like harming an innocent creature. It's that thing that, like, a lot of, like, we see it all the time in hunting stories with kids, where it's like, I don't want to shoot the deer. Because, like, you could, like, as
you
a kid...
You have to shoot the deer, son.
Be a man! But that's what she is... That's
Parks
what
and Recreation flashback, sorry.
That's what she's going through. Like, she doesn't want to hurt this thing, but, like, she'll hurt somebody who's hurting her.
Mm.
Absolutely. Or her friends.
Now...
Piss pants.
All right, so we got this flashback where that's where we had seen Dr. Martin and Eleven trying to read this man's mind. She shut the electricity off, and the words came through the loudspeaker. So then today, as she's speaking through the radio, we hear Will. On the flip side of that, we see Joyce. And poor Joyce. I just can't with anything in Joyce's entire life that she's Joycey. Going through. Yeah. But I am happy that at the end we did see Lonnie comes. Because I think, finally, here's a... I don't want to say partner, but like almost like a team buddy for Joyce. Because Hopper's out doing his own thing. I think someone needs to be with Joyce at all times.
Yes, because all this stuff keeps happening and when no one's around. And she can't be validated in her... craziness.
Is it happening when no one's around, or is it happening because no one's around?
That's what I'm questioning. Because I also question why she went in the bureau.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, with the lights at first.
With all the lights.
I'm not sure.
Lights in the house.
I'm not sure, but nobody could possibly understand what it's like to lose a child except for somebody who's losing a child. So it's nice to see that they are able to embrace in this moment. I was worried when he walked up to her, he was going to be like, what the hell did you do to the house? Or something, you know, and then we were going to just all be not Team Lonnie. But in this moment, he's able to put aside, what's her name? Christina, I think. Whoever his girlfriend is, put her aside and be like, our child has passed away. I'm going to go and I'm going to see the mother of my kid. So that was a really strong moment.
Even when Jonathan
I liked Krenene better.
But when Jonathan showed up, like, he was like, he's probably fine. Like, he was like being sort of a dick about it. But ultimately, like, he was just convinced that his son was okay. It was the same sort of denial that Joyce was going through.
And the town.
But now that he sees what's going on TV, like, and again, it's just believing what you're told by the media. Like, he is told his son is dead. The news said his son is dead. So, of course, he's coming back. Of course, he's going to, like, even if he isn't with Joyce anymore, two people don't have two kids together. Be together for that long, and he doesn't come back to comfort her after their son dies. But now
or even comfort himself a little bit.
Yeah, right. But I'm very interested to see what Lonnie thinks and how he reacts to everything that Joyce is saying. Right. Like, what's he going to say when he walks into the house and sees Christmas lights, letters painted on the walls? He already saw the hole that she put in the house.
Do we think that he'll have some blame and he'll say, you did this, you probably were crazy, you drove him to run away? Or do we think that he'll be understanding and say, you need to sleep and pull the Jonathan move?
I definitely think he's going to put blame on her. I think he's going to.
Yeah, I think he's going to be saying that she's like had a mental break or whatever until Jonathan comes back with Nancy, and he's like, "I have a photo. I believe you." It's a lot harder to deny three people than one.
But then when the boys come back and are like, "We heard you talking to Will."
Well, they didn't hear the mom talking, right?
They just heard Will.
They just heard Will screaming. Yeah, but all those pieces are about to come together.
But the photo piece is very unclear what's happening there. That could be a human being. Well, that could be a...
It could be, but let's talk about it. Nancy, we find out, says, I saw in the backyard a man with no face.
Yeah. Which is what Joyce said.
The Lucha mask guy. Mm-hmm. And at the same time of that, Steve's trying to get Nancy not to talk to the police and out him because he drank beer.
Oh,
he doesn't want to get grounded, guys.
See you, Steve.
But here is the funny thing about this situation. She said almost the exact... She didn't care when it was Will missing. When it was her brother, when she was at the dinner table, and it's all of a sudden she couldn't go out with Steve because of what happened to Will. She was okay to say something like that. Mm-hmm. As soon as it's her friend who's now missing, and he says it basically to her, don't get me in trouble.
This is a teenage boy. The first thing he's thinking of course, is himself.
Just like she was selfish in the moment. So I'm just saying, karma!
Well, the first thing he's thinking about isn't himself. It's
him, one of his heads.
And I'm just like, Steve, I know you were a smooth talker at the beginning, but like, you were cute enough that like, with like the way he was playful, like, I was like, all right, I might like you depending on what happens.
Lost it.
No. Even when she's like walking away, he's just like, Nancy! And, like, he stands there. Chase after her if you're trying to do something.
I wish 11 made you pee your pants, too, in that
Zach
moment.
Wilson, a good guy.
Guy right here. Glad he's next to me.
All right, so the cops question Nancy about the fight with Barb, and, you know, they say that the car is gone. So, again, cover up.
Yeah, because the car was there yesterday.
This is what makes me think that the Barb and the Will situation are hand in hand.
Was that before or after you took your clothes off?
Yeah, that line of questioning seemed very inappropriate.
I was just like, wait a minute, what? I was like, did I take my clothes off?
Well, the cop says that to her.
No, I know.
Really aggressive.
That's an inappropriate line of questioning.
For a teenager. As a mother, you're just sitting there? Excuse me, don't speak to my daughter like
especially
that.
Especially because the girl told you she was in the pool in her clothes and then said, I went to go put on dry clothes.
She didn't say I went upstairs
with Steve. Guys, Karen is listening. She's just there to listen.
She did say she was up there with Steve, though. They were just talking. And everybody at that table knows what just talking
means. Yeah, but why do you have to clarify? What difference does it make?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. The cops are just being assholes.
And then for Karen to be so mean
you
about
lied
it.
To the cops.
Her best friend is missing.
No, Karen only cares because Karen wants to know all the tea. And because Karen doesn't know any of the tea, she's upset.
Her daughter just had sex for the first time, which is a big deal. She might be pregnant. She doesn't know if they use protection. Like, there's a lot of stuff.
Far leap.
Did you run home and tell your mom when you lost your virginity?
No, but I mean, if a mom has a hint of it, she's going to
question
it, bring it up.
That's okay, but chill for a second, Karen. Why don't you come home? Are you okay? How are you feeling?
She did, though. She got mad at first, and then she said, I know.
Yeah, switch those things.
Why?
No, I would have rather her just be instantly mad, then get over it with the sympathy, so that way we stay in the sympathy verse. Then you're going to give me sympathy, because my parents would give me the sympathy, and then all of a sudden it turns into really? For the rest of the night, you're just going
to
be mad?
I think it's very human to just, she's reacting. Yeah. Like, she's upset that her daughter did this.
They had a whole car ride. Reacting to the car.
That would have been a real awkward car ride.
Yeah. Silence till you get there.
But actually, that could have been a really cool scene. Scene of that, and they're like
awkward. Okay, so I'm gonna give Karen her props for this episode because she mentioned that she was driving Nancy to school, which I was very proud of because that's something else that I mentioned a couple episodes ago that, you know, I feel with people disappearing, parents should be driving their children places. So props on that, Karen. Yeah. Now, the negative to this is, so you get home, your daughter tells you that she just lost her virginity. Why are you not concerned that the son you left home sick is not in his bed?
Oh. Anyone? She can only focus on one thing at a time.
For the rest of the episode, there's no mention of, let me go check on my son who stayed home today because his best friend died.
Look, you got to focus on what's important here, Tiana. Teenagers are having sex.
Eggs are ovulating.
There has been a teenage girl or a preteen girl living in her house for days.
Karen is worried about casseroles and...
She has Where's not
Where's Holly? She wasn't with the cops meeting. She didn't walk in the house with them. Where's the baby?
Right, where is the baby?
Karen,
the crock pot's on. I mean,
Holly could be at a friend's house. Like, benefit of the doubt. She's probably fine.
Well, you know, Holly likes to get in trouble, so she could just be running around.
Or Holly's just like at the wall, like, wall. Yeah. Like.
Holly's going to find 11 and be what is this?
And 11's going to, I could see that. Yeah. And 11 loving Holly.
Poor Holly. She's going to be traumatized the rest of her life. First she goes to the wall and something comes out of it. Then she's going to find a stowaway in her basement.
Do you feel Holly is going, might be a target?
Maybe. Well, I definitely think that would allow Karen to change because I don't think at this point we can take Nancy or Mike. They're too big of players. We need them around. But if Holly leaves, then maybe Karen will finally snap into it and realize, okay, this is the real deal. I should probably check on my kids.
Mm. Hopefully. Nancy pieces the pictures together. She sees, which the other thing was is, I mean, okay, they're older. The boys are older. But they clearly, like, went through Nancy's entire room. And she just walked in there and didn't think, like... Mm.
But was it that or was it Nancy's sort of old play clothes? When you used to play dress up because the hats and... The scars and the glitter.
And the wig.
And the wig. It just felt like more of the toy chest with all the dress-up stuff in it that they dove into.
I had one of those.
I mean, as an adult,
did
I
you
know
have
you
that
do.
Dress?
Oh, yeah.
So she pieces the pictures together. And she sees the monster. So she goes to Jonathan, where they develop the pictures again. And
first of all, why is she disturbing him as he's picking out a casket for his brother?
I think she's just trying to find him as quick as possible, and that's where he is.
And that's where he is. But it was just so such an awkward place to be like, hey, I know your brother's body just showed up.
Are you going to sit and wait at Joyce's house for him to get home? With
she's also panicked. Like, her friend is missing. Yeah. And, like, she's worried that the same thing happened to... Barbara that happened to Will.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll give you guys that.
And John put the stories together and they're in the dark room. They develop the pictures and little redemption for Jonathan with his quote of, you know, I take pictures of people because people don't always say what they were what they're thinking. A picture captures more. Okay, it's still a little creepy and
at
weird.
At least he acknowledges that it was wrong.
Yeah, and
like,
weird.
He is a teenager. Like, he's thinking with not his brain.
I feel like Zach said that exact sentence in chapter 3.
What?
That pictures can capture things that people can't sometimes. Like, that was a Zach quote that we just
Was
said.
It?
Yeah, you were talking about seeing the monster, though. You weren't talking about you did.
I didn't mean to, but I was right on point. But I like that he at least acknowledged, like, he did it just like he found them. He thought, this is a cool picture, I want to take this picture, because I've people watched before. Usually it's in a public place and it's like everyone's just there and I'm just watching, not photographing, but I understand the instinct. But I understand the instinct, and he's a teenager, so it's that, like, I've never seen a girl naked before.
Yeah.
He's also attracted to her.
Yeah, and then he regrets it later. I like that he at least was able to tell her, I'm sorry, I apologize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big move. Well, I need to get ready to go watch this next chapter, so let's get into some final thoughts.
I'm thinking that if this stuff with Lonnie doesn't work out, Hopper and Joyce might have a romantic future together. We haven't actually seen them in that capacity yet, but I think that Misery loves company, and they're both on a mission, and if they join teams together, I could see it actually working out. We've seen Hopper as kind of the player. We've seen Joyce as somebody who really like needs somebody to believe in her and trust that she's not crazy, and I think they could make a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You made me forget what my final thought was, so I'm just
Because it was so good?
Yeah, well, that was a good one. I mean, I definitely see them linking up.
Yeah, I could see them linking up in some way. I'm not sure romantically.
Yeah, maybe not.
But just in some capacity. I'm really interested to see how Lonnie's presence is going to change the whole investigation. Because he's coming in not knowing all of the stuff that this family's been going through. So he's coming in with the thought that his son is dead. And we need to move forward with the plan of, like, burying him instead of where Hopper is putting together a mystery on one side. You got Joyce over here seeing things through the wall. And then now you have Jonathan coming to her aid, hopefully, to back up her story. And then the boys as well. So it'll be interesting how Lonnie, if he believes everyone or if he thinks that, like he said before, get out of that small town and get to the city because it'll make you crazy.
Yeah. The thing that I keep thinking about is, what does this monster want?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still towing the line between if this is a peaceful creature that we have sort of hurt or incentivized to hurt us back, or if it's truly something vicious that is out to get us. And if so, why? Like, we still don't know what it wants or why it's like why it's there, why it's taking people. And I think that is the most fascinating thing. The like bloody suit coming back through the piece of suit coming back through with the chain leads me to believe that it's sort of leaning towards the more violent side, but I have this like part of me that I'm thinks it's going to wind up being a peaceful, or that it wants to just be left alone.
It might not be what it wants, but what it needs.
Yeah,
or it just doesn't know any better. And where I don't know, this just as you guys are all talking, this just kind of popped in my head. But I would really be into a scene to where the kids are approached by this monster, and Eleven says, "Friend." That would be interesting. To me.
Or because she just they were stuck up in the same 10.
Wow. 12. That's what I'm turning into next year. Yeah,
so, promise.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Promise
never breaks. Well, bones do. So be careful. Well, we want to know what you guys think. So please, once again, leave your comments down below. Hit that like button, and also please subscribe to Netflix on YouTube. It's youtube.com/Netflix. We're gonna get ready to go binge watch the next episode, but you guys can keep in contact with us all across social media. Me at DJ Jesse J.
You guys can find me at Roxy Stryer.
At the Tiana Hobson.
Send all your crazy theories to at that Zach Wilson.
Boom! Make sure you guys hit next for the next chapter. Peace.